Shifting gears a little bit, my name is Olivia Tran. I'm a researcher program manager with Pangea Global AIDS, and I'll be presenting some information or characterization of prevalence and predictors of gender-based violence and unintended pregnancy among a cohort of adolescent women living with HIV in Zimbabwe. I have no relationships to disclose, and I'll just be kind of providing a very brief background on the HIV epidemic in Zimbabwe, providing some details on our study, then moving through the typical methods, results, and then wrapping everything up with conclusions. So Zimbabwe ranks fifth highest in HIV prevalence worldwide, and despite a recently stabilizing epidemic, HIV incidence is rising among 15 to 24-year-olds in the country. When disaggregated by sex, adolescent women are twice as likely to be HIV infected than their male counterparts. And more specifically in Harare, which is the capital and most populous city in Zimbabwe, females that are under the age of 19 years are more than two times more likely to present with unplanned pregnancy as compared to older females. And from literature, we know that women experiencing gender-based violence are at higher risk of HIV, unintended pregnancies, unsafe abortions, and are also more likely to become pregnant as adolescents. So the SHAZ model assumes that economic factors, social factors, as well as structural factors, such as gender norms and exposure to violence, may lead to higher risk behaviors, which will then subsequently impact biological outcomes. So we hypothesize that by introducing a combination intervention of life skills education and reproductive health services, integrated social support, as well as vocational training and a microgrant program, that these interventions in combination would help mediate and improve some of these factors and in turn improve biological outcomes among HIV-infected adolescent women. A little bit more about each of the components of the intervention. The life skills education component was based on the Stepping Stones program, as well as some formative work that was conducted by CDC Zimbabwe and a previous iteration of this study. It included 14 different modules with multiple topics ranging from HIV, STI, and reproductive health education, relationship negotiation skills, strategies to avoid violence, as well as defend oneself, as well as identifying safe and risky places within a participant's community. The economic livelihoods component of the intervention included allowed participants in the intervention arm to choose either vocational or livelihoods training. This could include hairdressing, garment making, receptionist, secretarial, or nurse aide training, or a shorter three-day course on candle making, floor wax, or producing drink syrups. A microgrant that was equivalent of $100 or less was provided to intervention participants after successful completion of vocational or livelihoods training. And this was primarily in the form of goods, so capital equipment to start a business, supplies, or ongoing training. And to receive the microgrant, it was conditional on completing 80% of the study visits, as well as passing the training course successfully. And lastly, the integrated social support component of the intervention allowed guidance counseling visits at each of the data collection periods. It also allowed participants to self-select a mentor to support her through the program and study, as well as SHAZ reunions with other participants every 6 months. So the specific aims of this study were really to evaluate the intervention's effects on indicators of economic and social resources, adherence to HIV treatment and clinical outcomes, psychosocial morbidity, disclosure, and the ability to cope with stigma and stress, as well as behaviors that are associated with secondary transmission of HIV. The study design was an individualized randomized control trial At the end, there were 710 participants enrolled with equal proportions in both control and intervention arms. And the eligibility criteria for enrollment were females between the ages of 16 and 19 who were out of school and not pregnant at the time of enrollment and were also living with HIV. This is just a very basic diagram of how the study activities occurred over the course of 18 months, as well as the data collection time points. So for the control arm, HIV and sexual reproductive health services were provided through the course of the study. And then the control arm also received a basic health education at baseline. For the intervention arm, the same HIV and sexual reproductive health services were provided throughout the study, as well as the integrated social support component. But the life skills training was conducted between baseline and 6 months, and then vocational or livelihoods training was conducted between 6 to 12 months, with then the micro grant being provided as those were completed. So for the presentation today, I'll be mainly focusing on an analysis of baseline data to really understand the prevalence of and risk factors for gender-based violence and unintended pregnancy. Gender-based violence was defined as self-reported experiences of physical abuse, sexual abuse, or forced sex, and this specifically was any history of violence for this analysis. For unintended pregnancy, it was defined as any previous pregnancy for which a participant reported not having intended or wanted to get pregnant in the preceding month. And this was based on a standardized London Measure of Unplanned Pregnancy tool. The methods, prevalence estimates are presented in percentages with 95% confidence intervals. And for risk factors associated with each outcome, covariates that were exhibiting significance at p less than 0.1 were advanced into a multivariable model. Binomial regression was used to estimate adjusted risk ratios with 95% confidence intervals. And some of the primary covariates that we were interested in examining included education level before dropout, parental loss. Many of our participants, you'll see in the next slide, were orphaned. Food insecurity, HIV disclosures to family and or sexual partners, as well as sexual risk behaviors, including having multiple partners or no or inconsistent condom use. So baseline characteristics, age fell kind of in the middle of our enrollment criteria at 18. Baseline CD4 count, median baseline CD4 count, sorry, was 339. More than 80% had lost at least one parent. 29% had less than primary education. 38% had already had children or been caring for children at baseline. And 31% reported food insecurity, which was defined as not having enough food in one's home for the previous week. A large proportion, 76%, had disclosed to at least one family member, and among those who had a spouse or boyfriend at baseline, about two-thirds had disclosed their HIV status to that partner. In terms of sexual risk factors, 30% had reported having multiple sex partners, and 69% reported no or inconsistent condom use. So gender-based violence, when we group experiences of physical abuse, sexual abuse, or forced sex together, the prevalence of at least one type of gender-based violence experience is 34%. The most commonly reported when we look at them individually is physical abuse. Prevalence of that was 28%, followed by sexual abuse with a prevalence of 13%, and then forced sex at 7%. The risk factor analysis was conducted on any experience of violence, so the top line, at least one type of gender-based violence. And we see that food insecurity, individuals reporting food insecurity or multiple sex partners were 1.35 times more likely to have experienced gender-based violence in their history. And then also having no or inconsistent condom use was also significantly more likely to experience gender-based violence. In terms of unintended pregnancy, at baseline, 41% of the participants had reported previously being pregnant. Among those, 75% reported them as being unintended. Examining unintended pregnancy a little closer, we see again that food insecurity is significantly associated with higher likelihood of unintended pregnancy, as is having multiple sex partners and having a history of any abuse. There are some preliminary overall results from the intervention. The intervention has closed out, and we are in the process of analyzing and writing up the results. But preliminary analyses do show significant decreases in gender-based violence and unintended pregnancy over the course of 18 months. However, both these increases, these decreases occurred in both arms. So we're conducting further analyses to really understand the marginal effects of an economic intervention that kind of goes over and above the control condition, and really tease out why we might also be seeing decreases in the control arm as well. So some conclusions. We know that gender-based violence is a significant barrier to reproductive health. From our cohort, we observed that there were interrelated factors, including economic need, as well as engaging in risky sex, were related to experiences of gender-based violence and unintended pregnancies. And this leads to really the need for strengthened and integrative strategies to really address gender-based violence and reproductive health, particularly among young adolescent women living with HIV. So lastly, I would just like to acknowledge all the SHAZ participants and staff members, our community advisory board, as well as our funders and collaborating partners, as well as my co-authors on this piece of work. Thank you.